Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to John chapter 15. We're going to begin in verse 18 and we're going to read through chapter 16. So John 15, beginning in verse 18, this is God's word. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me." Some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me?' And 'Because I'm going to the Father.'" They kept asking, "What does he mean by 'a little while'? We don't understand what he's saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I've been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. You believe at last, Jesus answered. But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, we're going to come to a main point at the end of this, but right now I want you to see several key points in this passage. First of all, Jesus tells his disciples, and this is hours before his arrest and torture and crucifixion, Jesus told them, you need to anticipate trouble, and you need to expect that they won't just hate me, they're going to hate you too. Okay, he was talking to his disciples, this is right before he dies, so, you know, nice that he gave them a heads up. It's not just for them. This is God's word to us as well. Do not expect to be popular. Is that the main point? No, that's a subpoint. Don't expect to be popular. Do expect to be hated. Now, not by everyone. In fact, if you follow Jesus, you will end up connecting with wonderful, loving people from all kinds of backgrounds all over the world. Jesus told us to expect this. He says, if you leave earthly family for my sake, you're going to end up with much bigger family. I've got brothers and sisters around the globe. That is absolutely wonderful. My family is not just the people that are biologically related. My family is the family of God. So not everybody is going to hate you if you follow Jesus. But the world, the folks who are part of this world system, who are bent on just satisfying their own fleshly desires, they're going to hate you. They're going to hate you. And Jesus said, bear in mind when that happens, they're doing that because they hate me. And anybody who hates me, Jesus said, hates my Father. So if somebody says, well, they believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus, they don't believe in the God who is God. They're following a false God. They've got an idol. And idolatry has always been what man turned to in order to have a substitute so that we don't have to deal with the God who is God.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, one of the takeaways from that is if you don't expect to be popular, if you're not aiming to be popular, it will be less tempting for you to compromise the truth in order to be popular. Okay? You see, what happens is, and let me tell you, you know, one of the main groups that's really displaying a hideous susceptibility to this pressure to be popular right now, one of the main groups in our culture that is guilty of compromise in order to be popular, preachers. Preachers. Because preachers desperately want to have a following. They want to have lots of people, because with that comes, hopefully, plenty of money. And if you get plenty of people giving plenty of money, you can maybe even get yourself a jet. Don't expect to be popular. Do expect to be hated. Never compromise the truth. And one of the reasons why some preachers say that they are compromising the truth right now is in order to be loving. We have to do this in order to reach more people because we're supposed to be loving. Well, let me just tell you something. It's not loving. It's not loving. When I had a tumor in my neck and I went to the doctor, he didn't say, well, I don't want to upset him, so I'm going to tell him it's fine. Just leave it alone. He said, oh, we need to take that out. It should have come out a long time ago. And so they did. I didn't enjoy the surgery. I didn't enjoy the recovery. But I'm really glad that they got it before it was malignant. And I'm really glad that my doctor didn't love me by lying to me and telling me that this is healthy. You understand? If you're a preacher or a follower of Jesus, don't compromise the truth thinking that that's love. It's not love. It is lying. And all liars end up in hell, according to God's word. Don't be one. Be a new creature in Christ. Tell the truth and live the truth. Point number two. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit puts Christians in a better situation than Jesus' disciples when he was physically walking the earth as a man. Jesus says, it is good for you that I'm going to the Father because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Do you ever read this and you think, man, I wish I could have been around back then. I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have seen those miracles and walked like, you know, the roads with Jesus and seen him opening the eyes of the blind and cleansing the lepers and raising the dead. Man, I wish I could have been there. Our situation is better, according to Jesus. Well, I don't see how that's the case. Because Jesus said this, he that is with you, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, he that is with you shall be in you. God doesn't just walk with the Christian. God lives his life through the Christian. That's why Jesus is going to say, in me you have peace. Our life is in him. His life is in us. We are joined with him eternally. Hallelujah. I mean, the devil doesn't want us to understand how great this is. But God isn't just doing stuff there and we get to see it. God is doing stuff here in and through us. And God works miracles still today. So the outpouring of the Holy Spirit puts Christians in a better situation than those who were his disciples back then. And Jesus told them that, and Jesus tells us that, and we need to start believing it and being amazed by and rejoicing in what God is doing in and through us. Amen? Third point. Jesus was preparing his apostles for what was about to happen, but his words still offer wisdom and encouragement to us as we live in him. Look at the end of John 16. Verse 33, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. "I have told you these things," Jesus says, "so that in me you may have peace." Not, "I've told you these things so that in them you might have peace." "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Folks, this is the main point. Look at it. The main point is, Christian, take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. Please note that first word, Christian. Christian, this is to you. Take heart, Jesus says. Have courage. Don't be afraid. Take heart. Be comforted. Take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. Not will overcome the world. Jesus says this as he's about to go to the cross. How can he speak as if it's a done deal? Because it's a done deal. Jesus knows when God says something, that settles it. It's already decided. The victory is already won. When he cried out on the cross in a situation that looked like utter defeat, he said, "It is finished." He used an accounting term, tetelestai, which means debt is paid in full. Mortgage is canceled. The account is settled. There's nothing else to be paid. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He paid our debt. That's why when we come to the cross, we lay down our righteousness and we receive his merit, his righteousness. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. But God's righteousness, credited to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that changes everything. Totally changes everything. Have you ever been in a situation where you had an impending bill and somebody paid it? It's a really nice deal. It's like, how much do I owe? Nothing? Well, no, I mean, you know, but I saw what I owed this much. Yeah. And now I don't owe anything? No. Nothing? No. It's all paid. It wasn't just partially paid. Jesus paid it all. So, in light of what he has done, he tells us, take heart. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But don't let that get you down. Do you know how long this world's trouble is going to last? It's brief compared to eternity. But when you're in the midst of pain, it doesn't seem brief. No, I know it doesn't seem that way. It doesn't feel that way at all. But it is. It is. When I had my open heart surgery, They came in, the nurse came in to start removing tubes. You know, it doesn't feel good having all those tubes in you, but it doesn't feel good when they pull them out either. But the real memorable event, because I had lots of tubes, I also had two wires that went into my chest and were literally attached to my heart, okay? And she said, when she went to pull the wires out, she said, "Now, this may hurt a little." Well, she was wrong. It didn't hurt a little. It hurt a lot. I'd never felt a pain quite like that. Okay? And she just went, now, but thankfully, I mean, she went like that and just pulled them out, both of them at the same time. And it was like, ah! But then it was over. It was over. It was memorable. I still remember it. But it's not still hurting. It's over. All our trials soon going to be over. So I feel like sometimes the pain just drags on and on and on. Whether it's physical, whether it's loneliness, whether it's one financial upset after another, whatever it might be, it's temporary. We had a young lady who was here as a student years ago, and tragically she'd had a horrible event in her childhood that left her with a bad scar right here on her chest, and she was no physical pain from it anymore, but deep emotional pain, tremendous embarrassment. Every time she saw herself in the mirror, she felt terrible. It wasn't on her face. It was here on her chest. She always wore high-collared things so that it wouldn't show, but she's walking around feeling like, I am ugly. I am hideous. I am scarred. If people could see what's under this outfit, they would recoil. Sadly, she used that as an excuse to treat everybody else badly. And she was really hard to get along with. So, one day down at the counseling center, sitting there with her counselor, showed her a video of my friend, Joel Sonnenberg. Joel lived in Montreat, North Carolina, where I grew up. Now, I was older than Joel. I am older than Joel. But I got to know him, and when we started this ministry, he was in the youth group there. And Joel came here as one of the teenagers to help clean up the campus. And Joel, if you ever get a chance to look up his story, Joel Sonnenberg, okay, he's been featured in the news and all kinds of stuff written about him and interviews and so forth. Joel, when he was a little tiny child, in a car seat, is at a toll booth with his parents, and a big truck crashes into it, and the thing catches fire, and Joel was burned to a crisp. And as he said, that was not the hard part. The hard part was all the years that followed. Joel, if you look at him, looks like a toasted marshmallow. I mean, it's scars from head to toe. I mean, horribly disfigured. You will not find a person on the planet with a more positive outlook on life than Joel. And I said to this young girl, do you understand that when he was your age, he was here on campus voluntarily walking around picking up stuff with his claw-like hands in order to try and make this a better place for kids like you? What are you doing to make this a better place? What are you doing with what you've got? Now I want to ask you that question. What are you doing with what you've got in order to make this a better place? In order to show love for others? If you focus on your pain, your difficulties, you're going to have a miserable life and you're just going to make other people sad too. But if you will focus on what God has done for you, Joel, you know what Joel would want to tell you if he could talk to you this morning? Trust in Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And he's alive right now. He conquered death. And you can know him and he'll change your life. Trust in Jesus. Surrender your life to him. Don't aim for popularity. Look to be like Jesus. And he will never forsake you. And he's already overcome the world.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.